Good day, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Informa Q3 IMS conference call. For your information, today's conference is being recorded. At this time, I'll turn the call over to your host, Mr. Richard Menzies-Gow, Director of Investor Relations at Informa. Please go ahead, sir.
Thanks very much, and good morning, everybody. Thanks for joining us on a Monday morning. We will crack straight on with it. I've got Gareth Wright, our Finance Director here. He's gonna do the normal thing and just give you a quick overview for a few minutes, and then I think we'll jump straight to Q&A. Over to you, Gareth.
Great. Thanks, Richard, and good morning, everyone. Thank you for dialing into the call. We're today reporting the nine-month trading update from Informa, which includes divisional organic revenue growth figures for that period. The three headlines that we would pick out of the announcement are, firstly, we remain on track to deliver full-year financial results in line with market expectations. Secondly, we continue to make progress with our wider operational and financial objectives through the  2014 to 2017 Growth Acceleration Plan, including the 90 million pound investment program, which remains on schedule. And thirdly, last week, we completed the addition of Pension Information Services to the group, following strong shareholder support, bringing greater balance and breadth to the group and scale to our global exhibitions and business intelligence divisions. Focusing on trading, as you would expect, there are variances across verticals and across geographies, but the principal dynamics seen in Q3 are consistent with those you saw in the half-year results, with real strength in global exhibitions and a continued improvement in business intelligence, both of which divisions have increased weighting in the group going forward. We also saw consistent and manageable growth in academic publishing and improving trends in knowledge and networking. In global exhibitions, the business continues to perform strongly in Q3, producing revenue growth of 10.6% year-to-date. Q4 is a quieter period for the business, so we would expect some moderation of this growth rate across the full year, in line with consensus expectations. But advanced booking trends for 2017 are progressing well and are consistent with our growth expectations. In business intelligence, this division very much remains on plan, with continued momentum on subscriptions giving us increasing visibility in the business. Further progressive improvement in its organic growth rate in Q3 produced a flat organic revenue performance for the nine-month period, giving us real confidence of delivering positive revenue growth for the full year for the first time in 6 years. In academic publishing, we produced a solid performance overall, with consistent growth in journals balanced by continued modest declines in books, similar to the pattern we reported at the half year. This produced 0.7% organic growth across the 9 months, ahead of the increasingly important fourth quarter period. Given what we can see into this key trading period, we still think organic growth across the year should be pretty similar to last year, but possibly a touch lower given where we are at the 9 month stage. But any slight moderation is more than offset by FX movements at a reported level. The other news within academic publishing is the formal announcement of Roger Horton's retirement in 2017. Roger has been CEO of this division for over a decade, and his contribution has been truly significant. But this transition has been planned for some time, and there will be a managed handover to whoever his successor is through the first half of next year. In knowledge and networking, we continue with the restructuring to improve its focus and customer relationships. This helped improve the revenue trends to a 2.2% decline over 9 months, compared to the 4.7% decline reported at the half year. This partially reflects the reversal of the phasing variances we noted at the half year, but also a good performance at some of its bigger events in the period. We continue to target a flat revenue performance for the full year, with a number of the division's largest events to come in Q4. So in summary, Informa remains on track to achieve the market expectations for 2016, including another year of growth in revenue, profits, and earnings. We remain on track with the Growth Acceleration Plan in terms of capital deployment and delivery in a peak year for investment. And we're continuing to make good operational progress, with the recent Penton addition increasing balance and breadth across the group and increasing our US scale further. We would now be happy to take any questions that you have. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, if you'd like to ask an audio question, please press the star or asterisk key followed by digit 1 on your telephone keypad. Please also ensure the mute function on your telephone is switched off to allow you to see through your equipment. So once again, if you wish to ask a question, please press star 1. Today's first question is coming from Ms. Catherine Tate of Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead, ma'am. Your line is open.
Morning, everyone. Just a couple of questions from me. Firstly, within academic and the modest declines you're seeing in books, I'm just curious if this is broad-based or if you're seeing it more in STM versus humanities and social sciences. A bit more colour there would be really interesting. Secondly, you talked about the uncertainty created by Brexit in your delegate-based businesses. Is this just happening in your UK-based conferences, or is it more broad-based than that? And are you seeing this impacting any particular verticals, or is it just a sort of point on overall sentiment? And then finally, you mentioned that the BI metrics, like renewal rates, are improving. I wonder if you could just give us some numbers around that. Thank you very much.
Okay, thanks. We'll probably take those in reverse order. In terms of BI, what we're seeing is a kind of a steady improvement across the middle of the year, across Q2, Q3. The key sort of renewal season is December and January, so we're kind of building up to that now with some of the launches in new products that are coming through in the growth acceleration plan. So overall, the business continues to be on track and its performance is improving. In terms of actual metrics, I mean, we haven't really given specific metrics on it over time, but we talked about retention rates being in the low 70%. When the business began the turnaround, and we're kind of heading into the high 80s now, and looking to kind of see if we can get to the 90s in the renewal season, as a general target. So overall, the key thing is continued improvement and continued delivery, which is what the division is doing well at. In terms of the Brexit point, I mean, that's really a kind of a balance, because clearly when you look at Brexit, the key benefit you can see for the group is the stronger dollar versus the pound, and therefore the benefit on our reported earnings. So the benefits of it, or the upside of it, is clearly apparent. And we just kind of wanted to balance that off slightly by pointing out that in our most sort of consumer-facing business, which is what knowledge networking is, we are seeing a little bit of uncertainty in terms of delegate booking. So this isn't delegates not necessarily not coming, but it's more a bit of uncertainty, a bit of a delay in finalizing arrangements about coming to the Q4 shows. So as I say, it's a bit of a hesitancy there, partly reflecting the uncertainty that Brexit has left in the business market generally around how things are going forward. So it's not a big point, but it's more of a sentiment and flavor point that we wanted to make sure was in the statement, so that people understood it.
I think the other thing on that is, if, just to put it in context, I mean, clearly as a business, we've been moving increasingly towards the US and the Penton edition moves that further. I think around 50% of revenue and slightly more in terms of dollar-based revenue will come from the US or be US dollar denominated going forwards. So in reality, Europe and the Brexit issue is not a huge thing for us to think about. And then if you look at the businesses, I mean, K&N going forwards will be sub 10% profit. And then within that, delegate revenue is probably roughly half of that. So when you drill down into it, it's not a big issue for us. But it was something, as Gareth says, worth sort of raising. I know others have been talking about it. And we're just hearing that noise a little bit. Whether it truly is Brexit or it's just what we're being told and actually people talking about it will turn it into a Brexit issue, I don't know. We're not the experts on that, but it's just something that we've been hearing from customers in that space. I think coming on to your books question on academic publishing, I think we've sort of said to you before that, there's not one single thing that's driving a little bit of softness in books. I don't think it's particularly an STM issue versus an HSS issue. I think if you look at our sort of sub-niche subject categories, we have some subject areas growing, very strongly and others sort of less so. And, we have many, many different sort of subject categories we sort of look at. Clearly the budgetary environment's pretty flat. Clearly Amazon goes from strength to strength, and that has implications into the supply chain and puts pressure generally on when you negotiate with them. At the edges, book rentals is a factor, but for us, not so much. I mean, you know, typically we sell 1,000 copies of books, so you know, the model doesn't really stack up, but where we have higher volume stuff, it's a bit more of a factor. I think one issue is that if you look at books over the last 18 months, I mean, actually, as much of a driver as the growth rate, or you know, just easing a bit, has been e-book growth slowing a bit, as it has been the trend in physical books. And some of that, I think, is just we had a lot of dual purchasing going on, and there's less of that now. And so that's just sort of feeding in to the market a little bit. You know, and then there are regional variances where I think we talked about before, you know, the Middle East has eased a bit, you know, following the oil price reduction. At some point, you know, that'll improve. So there's a lots of factors at play. I don't think anything quarter has changed particularly much. You know, it's eased a little bit, as Gareth said, as we look to Q4. I think generally the business is, Q4 is becoming more important. And so as we look into that, we can see quite a lot of activity. We had a pretty good Frankfurt Book Fair, hence why I think Gareth's comment that the full year rate should be slightly better than the 9-month rate. I think we feel pretty confident about that.
Great. Thanks very much.
Thank you, Ms. Tate. We'll now go to William Packer, Exane BNP Paribas. Please go ahead, sir.
Hi, it's Will Packer from Exane here. Thanks for taking my questions. Three from me, please. Firstly, could you comment on the improvement at BI by vertical? So could we have some kind of view as to, you know, which part's doing better? Is it pharma, outperforming financial, et cetera? Secondly, if we rewind back to the 9-month trading update last year, there was a lot of noise around the impact of phasing on the underlying numbers. Now there's phasing impact for the first half as well. Could we just have a number for the underlying performance of the shows that have taken place versus how they performed last year, kind of an underlying number for the knowledge and networking division? And then finally, just to follow up on the last question, is there any discrete difference in performance between your type of books? So are textbooks really underperforming versus monographs and reference materials? In the context of some of your comments there, just to kind of get a view would be really helpful. Thanks.
Let me sort of go on books straight away, just because we were talking about that a minute ago. I mean, I think if you delve in and again, I think we've talked about this before. If you look at areas of our portfolio where it's slightly sort of softer than others, it's where we touch on the lower level. We don't do much of it, but in certain areas we have a few more textbooks which are slightly higher volume and slightly more geared to the lower level. And where we touch on that, there's definitely more pressure. And that makes sense because it's less specialist, there's more competition, the content's a little bit more generic, although even in that space we try to stay as sort of specialist as possible. The bulk of our stuff, which is much more upper level, sort of post-grad professional focus, where, as I say, typically you're selling 1,000 units or something like that, and it's much more sort of specialist. It's not that all the issues in the market are irrelevant, but you're much more protected, and you know you're not feeling it as much. So I mean, it shouldn't surprise you that that's you see more pressure in that sort of where we touch the lower level and are less specialist.
In terms of the other two questions, on the phasing point in K&N, this is something we talked about at the half year, things going from H1 15 to H2 16. That has largely now reversed. So we think the 2.2% figure that we're reporting today is a kind of a real underlying number. Obviously, that division is now going into a fourth quarter trading period, which is a key one for the division. A number of the you know, top 10 shows are in the fourth quarter, and a lot of the revenue is generated in the fourth quarter. So we think the 2.2% is a real underlying number, and we're still targeting getting back to flat for the full year. I think consensus might be, you know, varying from flat to a touch under, but overall we think we can get back broadly to flat overall. In terms of BI by vertical, I think the key thing we would say, just to open that point, is that we're seeing a overall improvement in all five of the verticals that we focus on, and therefore, you know, we feel that the key driver of the, you know, the underlying performance is the improvements that we're making to the business and the changes that we're driving through. And as we're doing those across 2015, 2016, we're seeing improvements in metrics and revenue, et cetera. And that, therefore, is giving us confidence that we're going in the right direction with it and we've got the right approach to managing an improved performance from that business. In terms of your specific question, I think we would say pharma has been good in 2016. It's the largest area, largest vertical by revenue for the business, and therefore that going well has helped. We're seeing sort of good subscription renewal rates there, and we like the way the product development is coming together in that space. So pharma has been a positive for us. I wouldn't say there's any real negatives in there, but certainly a vertical that's probably more challenged than the other has been finance. And that's partly about the ongoing changes and pressures in the end vertical in terms of the industry and the changes you're seeing there. And also the fact that we need to do a bit of product refresh, which is coming online next year in terms of the growth acceleration plan refreshes to help that vertical. So I'd say no particular problems, but if you had to pick one out that's been harder than the others, you choose finance.
That's really helpful. Thanks. Just to come back on one particular question, you talked about a portion of your revenue being the lower level of books, lower level of textbooks. Could you quantify what portion of books revenue that is?
You always want another number. It's difficult to be entirely sort of accurate because, there are some would straddle and be slightly debatable, but I think across the books business, maybe 15%, something like that might be, touching that sort of area.
Great. That's helpful. Thanks.
Thank you, Mr. Packer. We'll now go to Nick Dempsey of Barclays. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Good morning. Three questions, please. So first of all, in BI last year at this point, you were pretty concerned about one-off revenues in Q4, which can be volatile. You focused less on those than subscriptions. This year, we're not really hearing about that. You sound pretty confident about Q4. So what's changed, or do you just have more confidence about those one-offs as well? And second question, maybe you can just help us out by giving us a rough ballpark for year-end net debt this year, given that we've got to factor in FX and the deal. I think it's probably a fair bit of variation in consensus there. And point three, Penton, can you just give us a rough idea of what percentage of the year is going to contribute in the last 2 months of the year, which may sound like a trick question, but I just wanted to check about the weightings.
Okay. In terms of the BI question, I think the key thing that we were focusing on at the end of 2015 and perhaps even concerned about was that we were having a bit of a kind of reset in the way the business thought about Q4. So previously, the business had used Q4 as a time to really focus on one-off sales in the run-up to year-end. And what that meant was that you started the new year with a slightly weaker position on subscriptions you possibly should have done. And what we wanted to do in 2015 was tell the business, look, don't forget about one-off sales. But we want you to focus on subscriptions. That's the core of the business. And don't leave the renewals to the start of the following year. Focus on renewing them as quickly as you can do. And as we kind of made that shift in culture, you're always kind of looking for the unintended consequences of these changes. And that's why we were a bit wary about it this time last year. But actually what came to pass was that the one-off performed reasonably well and held up reasonably well, despite the extra focus on subscriptions. So I guess we're not making as much of a point about it this year because we kind of feel we're going to do the same thing again. And as it kind of worked okay last year and came through okay in the numbers, we are forecasting that it's going to come through okay again this year. But it is, as we've said previously, it is the key quarter for one-off sales, and that's still a dynamic in the business. I just think we have a bit more confidence about our ability to deliver it, having seen what we saw in Q4 2015.
I think the only other thing I'd add to that is our relationship with our customers and our customer management is just much better than it was. So I suspect going into this period, we've got a much better sense of who's got budget, because a lot of this is budget chasing. People have budget left over. You offer some bespoke work for them, do something for them because they want to use up their budget. I think we probably have a much better sense now of where the budget is, where to go after, conversations that have already been going on around, focus and work and some consulting or one-off stuff you might be able to do. So I think it just reflects overall the improvement in the management of the business too. I think on the net debt side, I mean, you're right, it depends a little bit on your FX assumptions and so on and so forth and where we end up at year end. I mean, I think in the sort of 1.3, 1.4 territory is sort of where consensus is sitting for those who've updated numbers, and that seems pretty sensible to us, that sort of territory.
And then in terms of the Penton point, which is the last one, in terms of Penton, if you remember in the announcement, we talked about sort of $140 million of OP, but we also talked about the fact that exhibitions were around about half, just to keep the numbers simple. I think we said 55% of EBITDA, but let's keep it simple and say about half. And the key point is none of the major exhibitions operate in November, December, which will be our period of ownership in 2016. So in terms of the stub period of ownership, if you look at kind of, you know, a 2/12 of the performance, which might be what you'd expect from a calendar, the reality is it'll be more like sort of 1/12 because of the fact that 50% of the profits are in exhibitions and there won't really be any major exhibitions in that period. So if you kind of do that maths on 2/12 of a half, if you like, you get to about a 1/12 of 140. And that's kind of a good place to start, I think, in terms of your logic around what to include for the stub period in US dollars.
Thank you. It's great.
Thanks,
Nick. Okay. Thank you, sir. We'll now go to Mr. Ian Whittaker of, Liberia. Please go ahead.
Thanks very much. just two questions. First of all, just looking back to your statement last year in terms of the 9-month trading update there, you made a comment that academic publishing would continue to be in line with the market. Sort of haven't seen that statement in here. I mean, can we assume that basically you are still in line with the market, or do you think you're slightly underperforming? And then the second thing, just in terms of events on the organic revenue growth, sort of your 9 months this year seems to be consistent sort of pretty much with the organic revenue growth last year on then. It sort of looks as though the fourth quarter last year was pretty much similar to the 9 months then. I mean, in terms of Q4 for this year, should we expect a noticeable slowdown in the organic revenue growth rate compared to 9 months?
What do you want to
go? We'll start with the second one. I mean, in terms of events, I think we've got to kind of look at exhibitions and knowledge and networking separately, because in knowledge and networking, it's a big quarter. There's a lot of product coming to market. A number of the major events are coming to market. Two of the top three for the year are in the last quarter. So it's a kind of big quarter for the division. Whereas if you look at exhibitions, it's probably the quietest quarter for the division. There's only one or two of the major events in that quarter, so the business has largely traded out. So I think in terms of consensus, what we would say is, you know, from where you are at the Q3, exhibitions, you probably expect to just weaken a touch from the Q3 number, simply because of the amount of product coming to market in Q4. Whereas knowledge and networking, we'd be looking for a slight improvement in the number in Q4, again, because of the strength of the product coming to market. So I think that's how I think about the two divisions in terms of their Q4 performance. And in terms of the academic market, I think that's a much harder market to call at the moment. Our business, we think, is performing reasonably consistently, but the wider market is seeing other concerns and other variables in it. I'm not going to sort of comment on peers, but that's why I think we're probably less open about to what we think the market performance is at the moment.
I mean, it's difficult to compare apples with apples, but as Gareth said, our journal business is very consistent. The books has been a bit softer the last 18 months. I think if you look at other companies in the market reporting figures on books, they're a lot worse. Now, a lot of that is because they're much more exposed to sort of lower level and school areas and so on, where we just don't really play. The sense would be on the upper level academic side, if you could extract that data, we'd be tracking pretty close to where the market is, so I don't think there's a massive divergence.
Can I just follow up on the sort of answer to the second question? I mean, without pushing the point too much, I mean, sort of, it was a call that you were quite confident in making last year that you're in line with the market, but you're saying that you're less confident about making that call now. I mean, is that just because the dynamics of the market have changed? And if that is the case, sort of what exactly has changed within that market to make you less confident that you can give a call on the entire market?
I think we're nitpicking, really. You're reading a bit too much into the statement. I mean, you know, there's no reason not to have put in a market sort of comment this year. I suspect we are tracking pretty close to the market. It's just, it's not that defined a market. So I guess maybe last year we had slightly more confidence we'd be, you know, at least in line, if not ahead. Given the growth rates eased a bit, I guess we're just being just a little bit more conservative in what we say publicly. But we don't think there's a massive divergence. The market's clearly eased a bit over the last year, which has been driven by a bit more softness on books for all the sort of reasons we talked about. But I don't think there's a huge divergence between us and the market at all.
I think, as Richard said, you're possibly reading slightly too much into it. I think there's, you know, we don't have a problem with confidence about our business. I think we can see, you know, reasonably clearly how our business is trading. The market on a wider basis might be a bit different, but our business is, you know, pretty consistent and hasn't changed in terms of its dynamics over the last couple of months.
I think the other thing, Ian, just to add, just to labour point earlier, is I do think certainly the fourth quarter has become more important in this business the last few years. And again, you know, we see that this year. There's things in Q3 we thought were pretty much wrapped up that have just ticked into Q4. Frankfurt Book Fair maybe has become a bit more important. We had a good book fair, lots of activity sort of coming out of that. So, I mean, there may be, you know, just that continued sort of shift to be more fourth quarter weighted, which makes it a little bit harder maybe to read the market. But I wouldn't read too much into it, Gareth said.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, sir. We'll now go to Ruchi Malaya of Merrill Lynch. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning, Richard and Gareth. You talked about the exhibitions looking well into the first half of 17. And just to check, is that consistent with an outlook, the mid-single-digit growth, high-single-digit growth? How are you thinking about 2017? Any signs of any Brexit worries on the exhibitions business? I know you talked about it in K&N. And finally, just to confirm that the slowdown into the fourth quarter in exhibitions is purely just calendar effects, not cyclical slowdown. Those are my three questions on exhibitions. Thank you.
Sure, yeah. Well, taking the last one first. Yeah, that's right. It's a calendar effect. The exhibition business is quite heavily weighted towards H1. And by the time it gets to Q4, there's only really a couple of major events still to run. So it's very much a calendar effect rather than any sort of cyclical effect. And we think that answer is reinforced by what we can see in terms of the booking rates for 2017, where you're seeing the larger, stronger shows coming back to market in terms of their selling, and their sales patterns are going well and are, you know, tracking in line where we'd want to be in terms of delivering our overall performance.
Yeah, I think consensus organic growth for this year is about 8.5-9%. I think next year it's about sort of 6-6.5%, something like that. You know, that seems sensible given, you know, where we're at now. Q4 will grow, but at a lower rate. The mix therefore means it will just come down a bit, as Gareth says. And I think going into next year, that's a pretty sort of good assumption at this point. It's still pretty consistent, attractive organic growth rate.
Excellent. Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you, ma'am. We're now going to go to Chris Collette of Deutsche Bank. Please go ahead.
Good morning. Just had two questions. One was actually just to follow up on Rucci's question, just ask about the forward bookings by geography. Are you seeing anything different if you look into next year? In particular, wondering are any signs of slowdown in the Middle East, or conversely, any signs of improvement in Brazil? And then second question was just about the within BI and the 35 product releases that you've got coming up over the next 12 months. Are they spread over the course of the year, or particularly weighted to the beginning of the year? Just wondering how you're expecting the annual contract value of within BI to build as we go through the next 12 months.
Okay, well, on the first one then, in terms of the geography there, no specific geographical patterns. As I say, the key thing we've been looking at over the last month or so has been the booking patterns for the events that run in the first half, because as you're getting to this stage, you're beginning to see a reasonable amount of momentum there. Well, you'd be hoping to see a reasonable amount of momentum, and we are. So the first half of the year is where you get the visibility at this stage, and therefore those shows are in the US and in Dubai, and they're booking up well. To your specific point about Brazil is much more weighted towards kind of June, July, so it's a bit early to tell how those events are performing. As I say, the Q1 and ones into April, May, you can get a bit of visibility. They're performing well, and that is a good sign for us.
Yeah, it's worth saying that Brazil's been pretty horrible for 2-3 years, so any improvement would certainly be sort of helpful, although you haven't really seen it in our numbers, which comes back to the portfolio effect and just that increased balance and breadth and just how well that serves you in that type of business. I think on BI, we're getting sort of micro detail talking about the spread of sort of new releases. The reality is I think it's pretty steady through the year, though. Progressive is the way we sort of described it, and I think that's probably helpful to the business, so they can really focus on making the most of them as they sort of roll them out. The new product, it's around it is about existing customers and renewals and cementing that, but it's also about driving pipeline and new customers. We've driven the value renewal rate up, but we've done less in terms of driving our audience and customer numbers up. And I think the sales team are really excited about, this is the sort of thing that really gives them some ammunition to do that, with just better product, much more modern interfaces, and flexibility around the data and content. So, I think it's the important sort of next leg really for BI to sort of have these sort of platform product refreshes sort of coming through.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks, sir. Sorry for that, sir. We'll now go to Jonathan Barrett of N1 Singer. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Good morning, chaps. I've got two questions for you. Just following up on academic and looking at sort of the trends in the market and what you've said about your business this year, should we be assuming that there'll be some further moderation in growth going into 2017, or do you think there's some reasons to be more optimistic than that? And then the second question, have you seen any effects across the business from the US election? Is there anything that you're having to do to change the timing of anything? Has there been any one-off effects in any large US jurisdictions at all? Thank you.
Sure, yeah. On the second one, no, we're not really seeing any effects at this stage. In the exhibition businesses, they are, as you said, weighted towards the first half. There's probably one major exhibition in Q4 in the US for that, or a larger exhibition that ran in October, so that's done and out of the way. And in terms of sort of subscription renewals in BI or in academic, it's a bit early to comment, really. That'll come through more in sort of in December and January. So overall at the moment, not seeing any effect, kind of steady she goes. And, touch wood, that's how we think it'll continue, because it's a pretty, we all know it's a large-scale, robust economy, and, what happens in terms of the political situation over the next couple of days, we think it'll still remain a large, robust economy. And, therefore, we're pretty confident about how it'll, perform over the next year or so. At the moment, not seeing any particular concerns or issues in that market. In terms of academic growth in 17, no, we're not calling any further decline. We talked about trying to get back to 1.5% for this year, and we don't see any particular reason to think why next year will get worse. So at the moment, we think it's pretty consistent level of performance from our business, at those levels. And as I say, we're not calling at this stage, you know, any reason why we think it'll get worse.
Okay. Thanks very much.
Thank you, sir. We're now going to Jonathan Halliwell of Panmure Court. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Yeah, morning. I just wanted to give you a chance, actually, and I apologize if I missed this at the start of the call, but to firm up in terms of the overall guidance you're giving us on in terms of being on track on revenues, profits, and earnings, because there's obviously a huge range out there at the moment, lots of different FX assumptions. Some people have got Penton in, some haven't. So, you know, while there are consensus numbers out there, there's nearly a 10p range or something in that consensus. So I wondered what you thought the kind of updated consensus range is, i.e. adjusted for Penton, adjusted for FX, and I guess particularly for the 2017 number, because that's the kind of pro forma number going forwards.
Yeah, no problem, Jonathan. Thanks. I think if you look 16-17, I mean, if you look at analysts who've updated their numbers for Penton, and in 16, it's worth stating a couple of people have got the number of shares sort of wrong, given the weighted average with the new shares and the bonus adjusted old shares. I'd expect the number of shares this year to end up at about 727 million, something like that, and then next year will be around 825, which is the number of shares now in the market. So, and on that basis, I think the range for this year, for those who've updated, is sort of 40 to 43p, something like that, with the average around sort of 42. And then I think next year, the range is a bit wider, I think, because of different FX assumptions, but it's sort of 45 to 50p. The average, I think, is just around 48, something like that. But the FX range in there is anywhere from about 122 to 130, something like that. So that gives you a rough sense of where consensus post-Penton sits, but a lot of people haven't yet fully put numbers through.
That's really helpful. And actually, one other thing, confusion in that potentially is these 95 million tax losses in Penton, just to confirm, that won't be in, that'll be excluded from adjusted EPS for next year, so these numbers would all have been adjusted for that. They're not benefiting from a low tax rate.
No, I mean those tax credits will benefit the cash tax line, not the P&L tax line. Actually,
exactly.
The P&L tax rate goes up a bit given we've got more US profits. You're correct. That'll benefit the cash tax line.
Perfect. Lovely. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. We'll now go to Mr. Nick Dempsey of Barclays. Please go ahead.
Yeah, sorry guys, just one more. Saw that University of Ottawa in Canada had cut the budget recently and is planning to cancel some subscriptions, I guess, for next year. Bit of a fuss there. And when you look at it, the ones they're going to cut are Taylor and Francis and Springer, not a whiff of Elsevier getting anything cut. To what extent, where you see budget pressures, do you find that their big deal completely insulates them and therefore you guys and Springer feel a bit more of an effect?
I think it really depends university by university. I'm not the expert on University of Ottawa, but you know, it will depend more than anything on their subject focus and, you know, where they're investing, because if they've got academics in a certain area and they're selling themselves as a university for particular subject areas, there's no way they're not going to have access to the latest content in those areas. So that will be the driver more than anything. I mean, a big deal might lock you in for a little bit, and we do some of them, but ultimately it's about usage of your content and quality of your content. So, you know, when you come to renew, you know, if your content's not being used, you're much more likely to see some churn on it than not. So it's much more about the subject, I think, rather than big deals, you know, excluding you from a customer.
Great. Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you, Mr. Dempsey. Ladies and gentlemen, once again, if you wish to ask any questions, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. We'll now go to Mr. Patrick Wellington of Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah, morning, Ovi. Amazingly, at this stage, I had four. First one is, can you confirm what the 9-month organic revenue growth rate was? Because it doesn't seem to appear in the statement for the group.
Sorry, Patrick. Sorry for interrupting. I should do that one. So the 9 months rate is basically unchanged from the half year. You've seen two of the divisions strengthen a touch, and you've seen two of the divisions weaken a touch. So overall, we reported 2.5% at the half year, and we're basically the same for the 9 month period.
Okay. Secondly, on exhibitions, if I look at the press releases around Greenbuild, which is your big show in this quarter, seems to have grown its space by about 3%. The exhibitor numbers seems to have gone down. So does that tell us anything about Greenbuild? Does it tell us anything about the outlook for your building and construction shows in the US?
No, I mean, you're right. I mean, Greenbuild had a good show. It didn't grow at the rate of the group, which, you know, is one reason why you'd expect the Q4 rate to be lower. But it, as you say, it's the only real sort of big one. Actually, it moves around Greenbuild. So it was in LA this year. I mean, I was there, actually, and it was a great event. But what exhibitors were saying to you was that the heart of that industry is much more East Coast focused. And so, you know, quite a lot of people didn't travel. And so that had a small impact, I think, in terms of numbers of exhibitors. Next year it's in Boston, and I think the feeling was much more that, you know, you should see it back on in force next year when it's back on the East Coast. So I don't think there's anything specific in it, but I think location probably had a bit of an impact.
Okay. Third one's on academics. So Roger Horton's going. I think Stephen made some comments at the half year about possibly wishing he'd spent a bit more of the GAT money on the academic business. Are we going to see a rejigging of the academic business over the next year or so?
Certainly, in terms of your GAP-specific question, I'd say no. The GAP projects, you know, are, I think, complete in terms of what's required in academic. I can't remember the exact comment from Stephen, but I suspect what he might have said is that when we started, we were spending a bit less on academic. And as we've gone through looking at the projects being proposed for the Growth Acceleration Plan, we've probably increased the amount being spent on academic as a number of the projects kind of came into focus and crystallized as being good projects with good returns and things that we wanted to do. So the, you know, the weighting towards academic has probably increased slightly over the course of the investment period, and that's probably what I think you know, Stephen was referring to overall. I think, you know, in terms of the overall position on academic, as you said, you know, Roger has done a fantastic job running that business over time, and you know, he's continued to change the business right up to this year, where he reorganized the books business and combined them into one books business globally. There are previously two businesses, you know, so one in the UK and one in the US. So you know, that business has continued to change over time and continue to evolve under Roger's leadership. And I think going forward, you know, whoever takes over will likewise continue to want to make changes in it. But that's not Roger's sort of move is not code for there's going to be a massive amount of change going forward.
Okay, and then final question, just in the context of the GAP plan, I mean, it's been running for about 18 months now, and at the moment you've got a business where one division grows quite fast, probably slowing into next year, which is exhibitions, and the other three businesses are kind of plus or minus zero. I mean, how does that look in the context of where you want to be in 2017, 2018?
Well, as you say, we've got sort of, you know, an exhibition business that's growing very well and is a very strong engine for growth for the group, and that's kind of our starting point. I think then next you go to business intelligence, and whilst I accept it's flat in the 9 months, I think what we'd look at is the trajectory that it's traveling down. So, you know, this is a business that was an 8.5% decline only 2 years ago, and so to be back to flat from there shows a pretty impressive trajectory. And we think the business is set to continue that trajectory into 2017. So we think, therefore, you will start to see, you know, two businesses solidly in growth going forward. And, you know, with the Penton deal, that those are the two businesses that we are increasing the scale of at the moment. I mean, academic publishing is consistent. I agree it's slightly weaker than where it was a couple of years ago, but it's consistent in terms of its overall growth. And it's, you know, got very high cash generation, so it's a, you know, good core part of the business. And that just leaves knowledge and networking, which, as Richard alluded to earlier in the call, is now a smaller part of the portfolio than the other three bits of the business. If we can get that back to flat for this year, I think that would be kind of where we'd look to position the business and then try and get it back into growth next year. But, if it's, in showing low levels of growth in 2017, in terms of its overall size in the portfolio, I don't think that's something that's specifically going to concern us.
Okay. Thanks very much.
Thanks, Patrick.
Thank you much, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, once again, if you have any questions, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. As we do not appear to have any further questions, I can turn the call back over to the organizers for any additional or closing remarks. Thank you.
Thanks so much. Thanks so much, everyone, for dialing in. Thanks for your questions. We're around all day if you want to follow up on anything, but with that, we'll close the call. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Ladies and gentlemen, that will conclude today's presentation. Thank you for your participation. You may now disconnect. Thank you.